cruiser. All right, on the line from SB Nation Denver, one of the contributing journalists over there, we're going to go to Matthew Musia. How are you doing, Matt?
Doing all right, Brandon. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for joining us. And, you know, you put out the State of the Avalanche midseason review, and outstanding piece that was put out. Took up a bit of my toner cartridge, I must say, printing it out, but really went over the entire breakdown of the team. And unlike a lot of people who write for particular teams, you didn't pull any punches there. There was definitely some criticism and definitely some praise. Right now, if you're the Avalanche, you're not extremely happy with where you're at, but you're not down in the dumps either, are you, Matt?
Well, you know what? I think you are pretty happy overall where you're at. The last 10 games or so have been pretty rough. But considering the injuries that they've suffered this year, I mean, Hiddink's been out for a long period of time. They're finally getting Chris Stewart back tomorrow in Minnesota. But really, they've had two forwards, Duchesne and Stastny, have made it through the entire year without a long-term injury. And frankly, no team will survive that as well as the Avalanche has, because they have the depth on all four lines. So really, overall, you're pretty happy with where you are. Like you said, I didn't pull any punches because there's a lot of flaws, a lot of weaknesses on this team.
Sure.
Goaltending's a weakness. Penalty killing's a weakness. Power play's been abysmal the last 10 games or so.
Yeah, and a lot of people are arguing over the Craig Anderson, Peter Budaj situation right now. And I know that Adrian Dater was very skeptical about it yesterday in the Post. And even maybe even without saying it, questioned Joe Sacco and his ability, wondering kind of maybe what he was thinking within this process. What's your breakdown in this situation? I mean, what's going on? Why is Budaj getting the reps, even though no matter what stat you possibly pull out, there's not one that shows that he's better than Craig Anderson?
No, he's not. Well, maybe on the power play. Shorthanded, Budaj has been a lot better than Anderson. He's been absolutely dreadful this season. But every other number you look at, Andy's been a much better goalie. Much better, maybe strong. He's been better overall. Really, what I'm thinking is this. Long-term, if you want to win a playoff series, Craig Anderson's your guy. We've tried in the past with Budaj, players like Abisher, Jose Theodore. We tried it with all these characters. No one's able to get us over that hump and win a playoff series. Craig Anderson has shown, he showed last year, he knows how to play in the playoffs. He was dynamite. He was the most dominant player on the ice against San Jose last year. I mean, after Game 3, his 51 save performance, you could have given him the keys to the city. This year, I don't know what's happening. Budaj is getting the starts now because it's a confidence issue. Sacco knows that Anderson's his man long term, but right now, he's struggling. It's obvious he's not comfortable. He's had injuries all throughout the year. He's suffered a lot of groin strains, and he's just not up to speed right now.
So possibly this could be, maybe this is just point blank, you know, keeping Anderson healthy for the long term.
I think part of it's that, and part of it's, look, you need to earn this job back. You are our guy. We want you to be the guy when we make the playoffs. But for right now, Budaj gives us just as much chance to win as Anderson does. Budaj has been more consistent than Anderson the last couple weeks at least.
So in other words, there's no reason in jeopardizing a guy's health when you're getting the same return in the other goalie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But long term, what's really confusing to me is this is a contract year for both of them, Anderson and Budaj. I'm not sure if you know that. They're both unrestricted free agents after this season.
Okay.
So they both should be playing for a long-term contract, and yet neither one of them is performing even to their career numbers up to this point.
Excellent point. Excellent point on that. One thing that I thought that you hit right on the money was full strength, where when the Avalanche have that number one lineup out and they are up against even the way you put it, that they're able to outskate and out-hustle essentially every team that they play, you know, maybe a team that's lacking depth, but when you talk about that first line or two there, you're really talking about a team that can really get the job done. And if they stay healthy, they could very well become a dominant team down the stretch just based on that performance.
Yeah, and that's something that they haven't had a chance to show all year. I mean, Hayduke was in and out for the first few weeks. Once he started getting back, then Stewart broke his hand. We lost Gagliardi to a broken wrist, so there's been a lot of players down to injury. But with Stewart back tomorrow night, you're looking at two really, really solid top lines. You have Chris Stewart, Paul Stastny, David Jones on the top line. You have Matthew Shane, Thomas Fleischman, Lon Hayduke on the second line. And you'd even go three deep. I have TJ Gagliardi, O'Reilly, and Daniel Winnick on a third line. So you have three really, really strong lines. And you know what? The team depth is a strength. And that's basically the only reason they've been able to even continue to be in playoff contention with all these injuries so far.
Yeah. You know, one thing that I think is just phenomenal, and for someone who writes about the Avalanche, for someone who follows the Avalanche, and really has to you know, I know how SB Nation works, and so I know you're very busy. This has to just be a cranium buster for you to keep up with a team that is less than 10 points out of second in the conference, and less than 10 points out of 14th in the conference.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, these guys can either bomb very fast, or they can excel into the top two, top three spots very fast. You have nowhere to go. All they can do is play their best every night. You know, with that said, I know it's hard to try to depict where they're going to be, but is this where they're at? Are they this 9-8-7 kind of team, or do you see them moving up in the standings?
Well, I see them moving up for several reasons. I think finally getting healthy. And honestly, their main weakness isn't their defense, isn't their goaltending. Right now, it's their offense. Their offense is what's been holding them back, which is really odd for me to say, because they're fourth in the league in goals scored.
Yeah, and you see
really
DeShane going
right?
to the All-Star game and all this stuff, and obviously he's a big scorer, so you think, I wouldn't have expected you to say that.
Yeah, but let me throw a number out here for you, Brandon. When the Avalanche scored three goals or more this year, they are 22-2-4. They've only lost two games in regulation when they scored three goals. When they scored less than three goals, they have not won a single game all year.
Wow.
So what's been happening lately? Well, they were top of the division 3 weeks ago. They were coming off a six-game win streak, and then all of a sudden they started sliding. Last 11 games, they've been shut out three times. They scored one goal twice. So in half the games the last month or so, they've scored one goal or less. That's not going to get it done.
Wow. Just so the listeners know, we're with Avalanche writer Matt Musia from SBNation.com. You also contribute at MileHighHockey.com, correct, Matt?
I'm not a contributor there, but I am a regular poster there and on PurpleRow.com as well.
Outstanding. You know, one thing that I wanted to ask you about, and you kind of took the flair away when you mentioned about the fact that you thought that the offense was a weakness. And obviously, division play, if you look at it from the not actually on the ice, but standings-wise, that's obviously a weakness as well, and we'll get into that. Defense-wise, they really have struggled. They've allowed the most goals in the entire league, if I'm right. And then a lot of people are pointing goaltending to the fact that there's these wide-open lanes given by the defenders. The Denver Post has absolutely murdered Matt Hunwick in the past couple weeks.
They're not alone. Everyone's murdering Matt Hunwick.
I think someone even called him the Matador Defender. Is this just who they are? Last night, Matt, I was talking here, and I had pointed out that young teams in sports, not just hockey, struggle on defense because, you know, on offense, an athletic scorer can move the ball or the puck or whatever sport you're talking about. He can create things for himself. Where on defense, it takes a team mentality. Everybody has to know where they're at. You have to game plan. You have to have experience. And when you're playing teams that do have that longevity and that leadership and those type of structures, it's hard for a young team to defend. Is it just the fact that these guys have to get older, or do we even have a chance to create a better defense this year?
I think you hit it on the head when you said this is what they are. They're not going to be a good defensive team. They're not going to be statistically a great defensive team because the front office, Greg Sherman, GM, has not built them to be a great defensive team. Joe Sacco doesn't want them to be a great defensive team. They've been designed to be fast, great passers, and excellent skaters. That's what they are. Top to bottom, all four lines, all the defensive pairings with the exception of maybe the captain, Adam Foote, and possibly Ryan O'Byrne, they're quick, and they make that outlet pass. They're not there to try and grind people down. They're not physical. They're not big. They're fast, they're good passers, and they know how to move on the power play. There's not any big men on there besides Adam Foote.
Yeah. Now on defense, if there was a highlight, or if there was a guy that looks like he might be able to be someone who can create some defense for the future, we have a young player that is going to the All-Star game, not as a actual contributor in the game, but someone who's going to be in the rookie game and in the skills competition. And what rookie is that, and who are we talking about there?
We're talking about Kevin Shattenkirk.
Go ahead.
Shattenkirk, actually, he didn't actually break camp with the team coming out of training camp. He wasn't in the season opener. He didn't come into the team until about, I think it was 12 games in. They called him up due to injury, and he's been lights out. He's become the new power play captain. He's not huge. If I recall, he's like 5'11", maybe 6 foot, somewhere in there. But he has a great shot. He's a great passer, which is basically the model that they've tried designing all of their defense in around.
Outstanding. Well, you know, Matt, we really appreciate you coming on. We're running out of time. I really thank you. We don't have a huge amount of NHL knowledge on the show, so it's always outstanding whenever we get you on. Hopefully you can come on again, and I'll get a hold of you after the show. We'll make sure that we get that going. So thank you very much. Matt, we can find you on SB Nation Denver, right?
Denver.SBNation.com, yeah.
That's right, Denver.SBNation.com. I'm going to let you go, Matt. Thank you very much for being on the